Welcome to the fourth episode of The Heretic Speaks. I'm your host, Reverend Gina. You know who I am. And this week, I want to talk about something that's kind of a near and dear thing to my heart. Well, more like a rant, really. Because I've seen a lot of posts lately, and particularly in pagan community, but, you know, this really applies to a lot of progressive groups and social justice type things, where I saw this in a comment to a blog post that I was reading, where somebody was saying, well, if somebody can't speak up about their needs and wants, then they're not a proper witch. Now, first of all, the article I was reading was my wife's article about going ground cloud on Patheos. And if you look under Agora on Patheos, you'll find it under Queer of Swords. And it was talking about how, you know, you really need to think about if your group is going to go skyclad, why are you doing it? And are you taking into consideration the feelings and consent of the entire group? Or, you know, if your group has been doing skyclad work, aka naked, for a while, you know, have you checked in with a group to see if, you know, that's still okay? Because you never know what people are going through until they tell you. And, you know, this speaks to a lot about group dynamics. Because even in the most open and what you think is of a close coven, people may not speak up about what they're going through. Because first of all, in our society, we're not really encouraged to speak about our needs and wants. You know, we're really encouraged to suck it up and deal with it and man up, woman up, whatever you want to call it. So you never know if someone's just gone through something, has PTSD or whatever, and may not want to go naked for a while, you know? And I also think that trying to say you can only be a true whatever if you do whatever is narrow thinking, really. It's what you think a proper witch or a proper Christian or a proper whatever should be. And first of all, if you're a pagan and you're saying that, don't you think that maybe you're sounding exactly like what you don't want to be like? I could be wrong here because, you know, a lot of pagans complain about, you know, Christians within their rules and dogmatic things. And, you know, then you're saying, well, you can't be a proper witch if you don't go skyclad in her coven, or you can't be a proper witch if you don't know XYZ. If we want to be open and we want to be inclusive, we as leaders, and I know I as a leader, need to think about these things. Does it mean if I have an alcoholic beverage in my circle, if I know that there are people in recovery in my circle? What does it mean if I know that there are transgendered persons in my circle who may not want to go naked? What does it mean if I have people that have a gluten allergy or food issues or an eating disorder and they're in my circle, and yet we have cakes and wine? Or if I'm at church and we have a Eucharist, how do I accommodate them? And it's not being excessively PC. It's not being, you know, it's not holding people's hands. It's called being a compassionate person and a compassionate priest. You want to think about these things when you're doing stuff because you don't know who's going to show up. I mean, even if you have an established group, you could get new people in any time if you decide to open it up that way. I mean, we have people that ask to join our coven every now and again. And, you know, we try to be very open about who we are because, you know, we want people to see what the ingredients are in the tin, as my wife would say. Looking for a magical group or any spiritual group should be an exercise in really seeing if people are honest. Because if people are honest about who they are, what they're doing, what their practices are, then you'll get a better sense of what that group's all about. But if they're hiding a lot of things, But this also goes into why the Circle of Caravan doesn't do secrecy. And I know this is going to be very controversial to some pagans, because, you know, a lot of covens really guard their secrecy. And I don't buy the idea that we have to keep things secret anymore. There's just too much out there and too much written that it's not really necessary. A lot of what you think might be a secret practice probably is not, and could probably be found in a Google search. Maybe you have twists on certain practices that may be, you know, a practice of your coven, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is something that people can't find out eventually. Now, this doesn't mean I don't expect confidentiality in the group work. You know, if I'm doing a ritual and people are talking, I expect that there is confidentiality among the group. So, you know, I'm not going to go talking about Jane Doe's issues with Boer or, Babylon or whatever, you know, or, you know, why they're coming to me for spiritual help or spiritual teaching. It's not something I would talk about unless they're doing something public or mentioning in public. Then I'll be like, yeah, hey, that's my student, or hey, you know, they're doing awesome. But it's another aspect of you have to take into account who the people are that you're working with. You have to realize that you will never fully know exactly all of what is going on in the heads of the people that you are doing work for as clergy. And it's just a compassionate thing to do, to really consider them. And, you know, having secrets, you know, maybe it's because I was in my first coven and the secrets that we kept were also a strict prohibition about going to other groups and going to other people and learning other things. You know, we were supposed to learn everything from our coven leader. But he was abusive, but we couldn't confront him. And, you know, being secretive and being closed could have ended up killing me or somebody else. It nearly did the coven leader's spouse. Thankfully, he was able to get out after a while. You know, I remember very clearly when I was trying to leave, God has spoke to me and said, you can either stay here and die, or you can leave and live. And part of the staying and dying was losing myself because I had to keep secrets from people. We don't confront injustice by telling somebody that they have to conform to a certain way. If we are to accept diversity, be radically inclusive of all people, we can't expect people to follow certain dogmas, certain creeds, because we think they should. And if I expect somebody to be exactly like me, or to practice exactly like me, or be telling them that they should be doing things exactly like I am, that's not compassionate. That's just, to me, is wrong. So, now that I've kind of gotten the biggest part of the rant out of my system, where do we go from here? How do we, as leaders, how do we, as social justice types, feminists, whoever, how do we avoid eating our own? How do we avoid that point where, you know, we're telling people, well, you're not a proper blah if you don't do blah. And part of it's just simply stopping and thinking about what you're saying. You know, why do you think that way? Why do you think that a proper protester or a proper witch or a proper Christian has to be a certain way? You know, what is it about what you've been taught that makes you believe that there is only one way to do things? How, you know, what is it? What is it that makes it so that if somebody deviates from this perceived norm, that somehow they're bad or there's a moral judgment against them? I mean, I recently was talking to Regan Chastain, and, you know, we were talking about the moral equivalency of your body size. You know, the fatter you are, apparently the lack of morals or self-worth that you have, you know, the lack of self-motivation that you have, apparently, which is far from the truth. You can't be a proper human if you don't look the right way. I want you to think about how weird that sounds. If you really step back and think about it, how weird does that sound? You know, you can only be a proper woman if you look a certain way. You can only be a proper pagan if you worship a certain way. You can only be a proper Christian if you believe that transubstantiation. You know, these have been put out there. I've heard them. I've been told these things before. And I'm like, do you listen to yourself? Do you listen to how narrow that sounds? And especially if you're somebody who's trying to be radically inclusive and trying to be inclusive of people, you know, do you really mean what you say? Do you really when you say you're a radical inclusionist, or you say that you believe all people should have equality, do you mean that? Do you really truly mean that? When you say, if you're a church and you say that all people are welcome at your church, do you mean that? Or does it mean that only a certain subset of people, because they believe in Christianity the same way you do, are the welcome people? We need to really think about that, I think. You know, a lot of people don't. I've joined groups and, you know, because I'm bisexual or pansexual, I'm still working on that one. You know, I've been in groups where, oh, you're really a lesbian and you just want women. You know, when was the last time you really wanted a guy? I'm like, what? No. Who are you to define me? You know, so who am I to define somebody else and their gender identity, their spiritual identity, their social justice work? Who are we to define somebody else's set of beliefs? And we're not the people that are supposed to define that. So to bring it back to the idea of a group setting, you never know who's going to be in your group, and you never know who you're going to talk to. And to narrowly define people in a certain way so that it does damage. What are we really saying about our group? What are we really saying about our cause? You know, if we're pagans and we want to be taken seriously as a religion, yet we're telling people how to properly be, and we're saying that we don't want to be like evangelical Christians, but yet, you know, what are we really saying about our religion? Like, oh, we're just repeating what we've been taught. And that's the problem here, because we've been taught certain things from the cradle, and we have to really look at them, and we have to be able to let go of some of that. And it's hard. I know it's hard. I mean, I still get it, in my head all the time. you know, there are certain things that will come up that I learned as a child or heard as a child. And I go, whoa, where the heck did that come from? And I have to really think, where did this come from? Why am I thinking this? And is it inclusive? Is it compassionate? And if I can answer no to those questions, I really have to think about it and really work to stop that narrative in my head. And I'm not perfect at it. I fully admit that. I mean, I've done some pretty damn good blunders in my life, and, you know, and I've said some hateful things sometimes. But I'm working on it. And I'm trying to be as inclusive as I can. So I guess in the fundamentals of it all, say what you mean what you say, and take into account the people who you're working with, who you're in a group with, who you're doing spiritual work for. Because you don't know what people have been through unless you've asked them. And they're not always going to volunteer, even when they're hurt, or even if they are uncomfortable about something. So thinking, it's a good thing. So that's the end of this week's little rant. I hope you learned something today. And if you have any questions or comments, you can always comment on the blog in the show notes. You can go to the forums and talk to me there. We do have forums now, so please do feel free to sign up. You can subscribe to these podcasts via iTunes and the Stitcher app. And if you like what you hear, feel free to click the little jar on the side of the website there and leave me a tip. I'd greatly appreciate it. You know, this website doesn't come for free, so. Anyway, hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.